This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is in the air tonight. The NFL season is upon us. Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. I know you're ready, but are we really ready? We wait all spring, summer. We get through the draft. We get through free agency. We get through camps. And then we're here, Jensen Lewis. Tonight in Seattle, it begins in earnest.
Yeah, I got the legs stretched a little bit, staying up late last night. You know, again, my circadian rhythm has been ready for this moment for probably a week or so. And so as any good elite athlete does, you train for this kind of moment. You get mentally and physically ready. I have my bottle of Brunello ready to rock and roll for the pregame. Ooh. For a little dinner. We are feeling great. By the way, I believe some of the Rams have us tuned in on their ride. They are about 6 hours into their flight down under.
Unbelievable.
So appreciate a lot of the Rams personnel having us tuned in this morning. A lot to talk about with a big developing situation there for that game tomorrow. But you're right, buddy. We made it. Good to see it. Happy hump day. Let's get it rocking and rolling.
And now the marathon begins. We can't wait. It does feel like more of a sprint in the NFL season. As we say every year, it goes by fast. Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, is going to join the program here a little bit later on in this very hour. Talk much more about opening night in the NFL and the great Wes Reynolds. Wednesdays with Wes, talk college football, NFL, of course, with Wes coming up later on in the program today. But it is upon us. We cannot wait. We're going to bet it. We're going to watch it. We're very excited for it. The beginning of the NFL season kicks off our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
As I walk into our studio here at the Mint Gaming Hall and I look behind me at Circus Sports and I see the big numbers there, there are still 3.5s, 44.5s out there in the marketplace. But Jensen, I have seen that the juice is starting to go to the Seahawks a little bit at -$1.20, where the Patriots even money plus the threes. So you're seeing those halves and those hooks starting to go away. Some threes, there are 3.5s out there, but man, that ever so slightly, we're starting to see these numbers change. Maybe they got your memo on the Patriots to get that hook off.
They certainly did. Starting to tighten, and we absolutely love that. We did it a couple of days ago, putting the Patriots money line in plus $1.67 down to plus $1.55 at Circa this morning. Dave, updated numbers for you on the spread, as you mentioned. A lot of threes populating, still some 3.5s. Seeing BetMGM has a 3.5 out there, and FanDuel and Hard Rock, from what I can see right off the top. So if you're looking for the hook on the Patriots side, still readily available in some shops, but more importantly, we're looking at about 53% of bets, 58% of money on the Pats, 47% of bets, 42% of money on the -3 on the Seahawks. Total, as you said, you know, pretty much here, 44.5s consensus across the board. A boatload on the under, 73% of bets, 63% of money. Great to see it. Good to be looking back at some life-changing numbers here on game day.
Travion Henderson has been ruled out for tonight's game. I don't think this is a massive surprise. We hadn't seen him practice in a couple of weeks here. We kind of felt like the writing would be on the wall there. But outside of that, Jensen, I mean, it's still confidence in New England getting that three. But again, you got the better number, 3.5. I know you got a better money line price. That money line price, by the way, has cascaded. You got it at plus $1.70. I'm seeing plus $1.42 today. So New England is getting some financial backing out there.
No doubt. And speaking of backing, the Rams will be without Aaron Donald, will not travel. With LA, will not be active for that game in Australia. I know we'll dive into this much further because that is an interesting tentacle if you are looking to back the 49ers, which I already have. So something to factor in here. Also, the Niners losing Alfred Collins with a knee injury at practice. He is done for the year. That is another massive injury defensively here that San Francisco's dealing with. I don't know where the substation is in conjunction and how it if it's got international reach. We know there's one next to the cricket grounds, but man, oh man, this Niner team cannot catch a break.
No, they really can't. And again, with Aaron Donald not going, he's not a big surprise to us. And again, we're on the under here. That is at 48.5 right now is where that is priced. 3.5 still that number. So many threes and 3.5s out there in week one of the NFL season tells you the book's still trying to adjust and figure out their numbers. This is a bit of a surprise. We talked about this throughout training camp here with Baker Mayfield. Yes. There was it felt like some real disdain for the front office there and kind of like, all right, fine, we're not going to talk. Great. I'll play the season. We'll see how this thing plays out. Last minute, Jensen, 3 years, yes. $165 million to keep him with Tampa Bay. Do you like Baker with the chip on the shoulder, or is this Baker now he can exhale and we're not mad at the front office anymore?
Well, I can imagine the Mayfield household had some happy tears yesterday because if you watched the Netflix show Quarterback, it really is a great insight. And hey, I've seen it up close and personal with his days here in Cleveland. It was not a spot that ultimately worked. There is a lot of angst for Kevin Stefanski. I told you to be a blind backing of the Buccaneers. Say that five times fast when Baker and the boys go after Kevin and the Falcons. But Dave, as far as the economics are concerned, remember I told you when we looked at Dak Prescott, who at age 31 signed the 4-year, $240 million contract. That was $60 million a year. I asked you, would you be willing to pay a 31-year-old Baker Mayfield upwards of $50, $55 million a year? Question answered. The front office there for the Bucks, $55 million average annual salary on $165 million total. To be fair, I think you have to factor in the love and respect that locker room has for their quarterback. Dave, you've covered enough football. You've been in enough locker rooms to see it. When you have a united front behind the signal caller, whether it's a young pup, whether it's a sage veteran, that's a difference maker for a football team. And that's what Baker is here for the Bucs.
No doubt. And again, I think that 3 years is the key. Feels like I'm sure they wanted maybe a fourth year in there. But I think that feels like a fair deal, at least in the current marketplace here for both sides. But you're right about that leadership. He is the leader unquestioned of that team. And I hope that's good standing there for Todd Bowles, because I wonder if they were tied together. But we know Baker at least is going to be around. And if you have Baker Mayfield at quarterback, at least I feel like you have a chance. You feel like you have a chance in that locker room each and every week. And the guy plays hurt. He just plays. Patrick Mahomes would play hurt if he could. He couldn't play at the end of last year. He's going to play Monday night. Not a surprise, but officially has been confirmed to start Monday night. 3-point favorites, what we're seeing right now against Denver. Josh Simmons, their left tackle, is unlikely to play in week one. So you got to get those big guys up front healthy, Jensen, but at least 15. Speaking about giving you a chance, you know, when that guy is behind center, you got a shot every week if you're Kansas City.
We will debut a new segment today, a new weekly football segment that this game will be highlighted in, and very excited to see this AFC West tilt on Monday Night Football to finish week one. There are a lot of people at this network that love the Chiefs. Do not count me amongst those. I will be on that lone island away from everybody. I think the Mile High City going to have a lot to be excited about, and what a way to start it between the Broncos and the Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
Moneyline Marathon, people, buckle up. We'll give you the rules, our rules that we have for Visa by the Books, and you are welcome to play at home, and we're trying to make you some money and make us some money in the same time. We'll explain that later on in this program. Every day, we need like a soap opera, you know, as LSU turns, so go the sands of the hourglass. Every day, it's something else here, Jensen, but we know there's going to be a meeting tomorrow. Are they really going to kick out LSU? Apparently, that's the discussion that they're going to have. I don't know how scared, if at all, LSU is of that actually occurring, but two more players have been added to the 105-man roster, and they do not and cannot add Daquan Wright or Xavion Harris any longer. So with that roster set, I wonder, is the saga over? But yet, we're going to have a vote here in the SEC to determine if we still want LSU to be a part of our conference.
Feels very Animal House, double secret probation here, that they're going to try and do what they have to do to enforce some sort of penalty or some, you know, like, hey, This is it. You're at the end of the diving board here before we push you in. But I do think it is significant, Dave, that with the roster now locked, those two NFL players are not on the 105-man roster. So I think this is Lane Kiffin, LSU, pushing the envelope as they would traditionally want to do. Gets you to the end of the line, but it keeps you from crossing it. By the way, I know it came out yesterday after our show. The MAC appealing Western Michigan's loss.
How about that?
Go read that statement. We're going to dive into it much more, but that is pretty significant. We don't really have this where you ask for a win to be vacated during the season because of an issue with replay. But that's going to be significant because I think there are legs to that appeal from the MAC.
Yeah, it seemed like that they took what the Big Ten said at face value right after the game and kind of was going to go their separate way and then said, whoa, this is not right, and we're going to push back. We'll talk about that a little bit more. You know, we talk about poll positions all the time when the preseason polls come out. Well, after week one, we do have some changing names here. How about Oregon goes from 2-6 in the latest AP Top 25? And Michigan, with that win, I'm putting that in air quotes, Jensen, all the way out of the top 25. So there are some significant moves here after 1 week.
I'm not surprised on the Michigan side. I mean, how can you keep them ranked after what happened as a 27-point favorite and you barely win the game? For what it's worth, here are the teams that moved above Oregon. Georgia State at 2, is up to 2. Notre Dame up 1, Texas up 1, Indiana up 1. Those are the teams in front of Oregon now who sits at number 6.
So the SEC is holding the secret meeting in Animal House style. Lane Kiffin's picture comes up on the projector. They all throw stuff at the projector, and then somebody stands up and says, wait, he's legacy. That's what it feels like it's going to happen for LSU. We'll find out how that plays out. Let's talk about these opening numbers here in the NFL. Week number 1 begins tonight. It's next right here, VSiN by the Books.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The wait is finally over with college football back. The NFL will follow suit tonight. Now is your time to get the edge with VSiN Pro. When you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you're going to get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide, post preseason week number 1 betting system starting tonight, contest strategies, fresh best bets from all of our experts. You're also going to get, in conjunction with, an update on all 138 FBS college football teams. You're going to get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started for just $9.99 or save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We're ready for tonight. Number down to 3 in some spots. Still some 3.5s out there. For Seattle, 44.5 is that total. Jensen was 44s too, so maybe a slight fluctuation towards the over tonight. A little bit of a half point move there. Travion Henderson has been ruled out tonight. That feels like the most significant news here for the Patriots. We already knew that Zach Charbonnet wasn't going to be able to go here for a little while to begin the season for Seattle. So the running games are going to be a little bit different. I mean, Stevenson's still going to get the bulk of the carries here for New England. But as I was walking in today, and the guards are asking me, we're having a quick conversation about week 1. They said, who do you like tonight? And I kind of stopped because, you know, when people ask you, Jensen, they're going to ask you too, just like they asked me, hey, who do you like tonight? And you kind of put on the spot, right? Like, and I'm like, I kind of like Seattle. And I'm like, I don't know that I like it here. I have no play on the side right now. But now that it's down to 3, and I cannot imagine that this moves anymore. To me, this says the book is stuck at 3. We're not going back to 3.5, so we're certainly not going down to 2.5. And now they're going to make you make that command decision. Boy, I tell you, again, for somebody that has no tickets on this, the money line is steep at -$1.80 on the Seattle side. I do feel like they're going to figure out a way to win, but I am not convinced in that thought process of how game 1 is going to play out tonight.
Yeah, I've remained steadfast in my backing of the Patriots, and a lot of that predicated off of the uniqueness of the matchup and the timing of it, Dave. It was the final game of our season last year. It is the first game of our new season this year, and there is something to say about all offseason, hearing about how you were, you know, just absolutely outplayed, outgunned. Was Drake May 100% healthy? We'll never know. That left side of the Patriots offensive line was in shambles. Well, this is a different year. This is a different team. And to be fair, Dave, that's the same on the Seattle side. Were they playing and were they a well-oiled machine hitting on all cylinders headed into the Super Bowl? They absolutely were. Many could look at that NFC Championship and game and say that was kind of the de facto Super Bowl, the way those two teams had come into that title weekend. What I take more into effect are our current form and the injury report. And let me be clear on a couple of priorities here. Number one, the Seattle secondary looks like they could be without, as I mentioned to you yesterday, one of the most important guys in Nicky Minwori on not only the secondary, but the unit itself. Dave, I've said this to you about locker rooms. When you don't see one of your star players suiting up, it's a different morale. It's a different thought process. And I've watched enough Hard Knocks to see that. And I don't think Mike McDonald's just doing it for the cameras. I think he's genuinely worried about week one if Minwori's not available. And we'll find out, you know, when inactives are posted here 90 minutes before kickoff. But I think with the addition of A.J. Brown, Drake May has never had this kind of alpha number one. I do think he's set up for a pretty impressive night. We'll see how much Devin Witherspoon is going to hawk him and kind of track where he is each and every play. But I think we're forgetting about Ramondre Stevenson, too, on the Patriots side. Remember, we're just a year or so removed from this guy being a bell cow, being someone that from a fantasy perspective, you're like, well, yeah, he's going to get the carries. He's going to get the goal line touches. And I think if Drake May is 100% healthy, and we believe that he is, Dave, there's the other element that really wasn't available because of all the pressure that he was under in the Super Bowl, okay? If he's healthy tonight, then I think the Patriots are as live as any dog in week one. I think they go in and win it. I think they're a focus group. I think all they've heard is all the off-field stuff with Mike Vrabel. That it's a coronation, you know, celebration of Seattle's championship, the 12s, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's something to be said about getting in the foxhole, as you well know. It's just us against the world. And I think that's the Patriots mindset headed into the Pacific Northwest tonight.
You know, and I do. I look at the how thin Seattle is in that secondary to begin the year, at least, right? At least for 1 week so far. I mean, look, remember, they did sign Terrion Arnold, and he's on the exempt list here by the commissioner. So while he's on the roster, he's not on the roster. He's not going to be able to play tonight. Remember, they tried Trayvon Diggs. They kicked the tires there, had to cut him. I mean, you're going deep into the bag here if you're Seattle. And when I see those type of moves being made by Mike McDonald, that tells me that they, not to say they're desperate, but they were clearly looking for reinforcements in that secondary. And Jensen, I have zero plays here on the side. I'm starting to look at that total, and I can understand why it's creeping up a half point to 44.5. That's starting to make more sense to me. Look, Drake May, was he injured in the Super Bowl? His shoulder didn't look right. It didn't. So we got to assume now that he's had the whole offseason to get ready. You would think it would be a much better version of Drake May there tonight, right, than the one we saw in the Super Bowl. And I know Sam Darnold says like he wasn't really proud of the way he played, even though they won the Super Bowl in the actual game itself. If those quarterbacks play better than they did in the Super Bowl a year ago, it could lead to more points. So I'm not there yet, but as I think you can tell, where I am headed might be towards that over for any play here at 44.5. And I'm starting to wonder, man, I missed out on that 44. Could have had that earlier. I think there were actually some 43.5s out there for a while. So that's long gone as the summer's come and gone. But I am starting to think with as depleted as that secondary is in Seattle, I might want to think that Drake May is going to have a good night. And if that's the case, I could see both these teams at least being in the low 20s and getting me over that 44.5 total. By the way, I do feel like we have not, maybe we haven't necessarily, I'm sure the network has, and certainly Sports Talk writ large has talked about the Super Bowl rematch aspect of it. But I feel like the oxygen in the room all summer has been Mike Vrabel and about his personal discretions and what's going on. I saw a story today, this morning, about Diana Rossini from the New York Post and her comeback. I feel like that's been all the talk about New England is everything off the football field. And Jensen, I don't know if it's a Lane Kiffin type of comparison, but with all the talk being about everything other than the team, I wonder if there's some more shock and awe for New England tonight, and that the team actually is going to be a little bit better than what we've been talking about all summer long, which is everything that has nothing to do with football.
Spot the ball and let's play. We're done with all the stuff off the field, and the focus should be on it. To that end, great to bring back the Opta AI projections here week in and week out. If you're a VSiN.com pro subscriber, you have access to all of these items. The one play that's jumping out to me right now, Dave, is Drake May to throw at least an interception. Now, it is pretty, I want to say it's right around $1.14, $1.12. I'll double check a couple of places here. But Opta AI giving that about an 11.4% edge and giving a 3 out of 3 on the confidence meter there as a strong play tonight. So just checking some of the player props. Again, shameless plug here. John Hansen, the guru, I know has a couple of plays. If you got Bill AD's daily email, you have those as well. But just a friendly reminder, especially on these primetime games, great tool to use. If you're not convinced on a side or total, another great way to get action on this game. So we'll obviously take a look a little bit further to see if there's anything that really stands out. For me, Dave, I do know there was a DraftKings promo last night. I was able to snag it. AJ Brown to have 5 or more receiving yards in the first quarter boosted to even money. So I did take that for a unit play. I do think that that is going to be a very big priority. Get AJ Brown going tonight, allow Drake May to settle in. So I do like that opportunity, first or second drive, for him to get at least 5 receiving yards.
Did you say that with a Bostonian accent for spat the ba? Did I hear that? A little clam chowder in that, in that spotting of the ball?
Yeah, I got to go from Pete Golding. Y'all spot the ball. Let's go. Come on. We're going, it's wicked fire to Seattle, but we're going to spot the bop. No, I can't do it now, but anyway, let's go. I mean, forget it. Let's play. This is what it's all about, man. We're 0-0. Let's get all the coach cliches in there. Let's rock and roll.
I think you're going to be for The Departed 2. If they do a remake of that, you might be able to get by with some of those accents that they had in The Departed, but we're not so Bostonian. But they tried their best. We're going to talk much more about the Melbourne game, obviously. But the news there is that Aaron Donald did not even travel, didn't make that trip, as you mentioned, with the Rams, literally in flight right now. But Jensen, I don't think that's a surprise to us. I don't know that it really affects that total. 48.5 is where it's sitting with that big 99 there.
Yeah, I think much more to dive into on this matchup, particularly, again, I may be feeling the dogs are live here first 2 days of the season. Already on the Patriots tonight, 1.5 play, $1.67 on the money line. I think they win it outright, and we'll talk more about this Niners and Rams game from down under in Melbourne tomorrow. Shout out to the Rams watching us on Ram Force One headed to Australia.
That Sean McVay's got to be, he's probably working out right now in the flight, a la Russell Wilson back in the day. JVT is going to join the program next. Who does he like in week 1? That's next right here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Going to have Wes Reynolds join the program a little bit later on for our Wednesdays with Wes. Get his thoughts on college and the NFL as well. But always look forward to our conversations with Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of Money Moves, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern right here on the network with Stormy Bonantoni. Check out Pod to the Futures podcast with Mitch Moss as well. Give him a follow on X at me, JVT, and joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Jonathan, I know you got some plays in pocket that we're going to get to here in the NFL. We're very excited for week 1 and beyond. But for tonight, when you see that this number's down to 3, it was 3.5 out there, total slightly moving up to 44.5 right now. There were some 44s and even 43.5s out there weeks gone by now. Have you formulated an opinion over this summer, and has it changed as we get ready for kickoff tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I would lean a little bit toward the Seahawks. I want to know if Emenwari is going to be out there. Obviously, Okada is out already, so that's probably it's a little bit of a problem. But, you know, if your back end is going to be pretty thin, given the additions that the Patriots have made with this offense, right, with A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs, I feel a little bit worried that those two guys aren't going to be out there. And I know that there is some potential positivity floating around the Seahawks to their new coordinator. That's still a little bit of an unknown, but I don't think enough has changed that I would think that the gap between these two teams is closed to an extent where the Patriots, even catching three, are viable. So to me, it would be Seahawks or pass. If you get Emory out there, I'd be a little bit more inclined to pull the trigger, and I probably will just because it's opening night, right? Like later tonight, you got to watch something. So that'll probably be something on my radar, but it's going to be Seahawks or nothing, and I'll probably end up on Seattle later this evening.
All right, very good. Off and rolling the first of many here in standalone fashion. Buddy, you got a couple of dogs that you're backing on Sunday, and one that I want to touch on you because I have said, forget the points, give me the money line, and I know it's going to be a very popular survivor selection. Talk to me about Chargers, Cardinals, and why you like the dog side there with Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, Jensen, I kind of want to buy in on Arizona from an ATS standpoint. I was going through the picks page yesterday. I saw your play on that too. And like, I don't hate it. First off, like, maybe this was part of your thought process, but like every week one, we see it, right? It seems like where we just see these big favorites that we just don't know that much about. And all of a sudden you're watching a team and you're like, oh, that team's got like X, Y, and Z, and they're a little bit better. And I'm kind of surprised, and we hit on this in our futures draft a little bit because I have the Cardinals win total over for that experiment. This Cardinals team is not devoid of talent. The skill position group is great. We get the news that Jeremiah Love is going to be available. And yes, we're listed as running back too. Who cares? He can still get more touches. You have Trey McBride. You got Marvin Harrison Jr. Jacoby Brissett is a skilled quarterback and is a average quarterback at best that can help guide this offense along. I don't know how good the defense is going to be, but I do think losing Jesse Minter is kind of a big deal for the Los Angeles Chargers. I think he did a lot with an average group, and I think we're going to find that out. So to me, especially when that number was 10.5, that was totally playable here. From a contest perspective at 9.5, I think I'm still going to use this. And I would not be surprised if the Cardinals find themselves in a little bit of a higher scoring dogfight against the Chargers. I think that I believe in this talent offensively. I like the LaFleur system. It's like weird Shanahan type Kubiak, you know, whatever kind of offense you want to see that I think really raises the floor of an offense in general. I think the Cardinals are going to be a very solid ATS team that doesn't win enough games because of the rigidity of their schedule, but I think that they're going to be a team worth backing.
By the way, that total does feel high, right? 47. It's up to 47.5 in some spots here. So, Jonathan, I think you're spot on that they're expecting some points here from both sides, not just the Chargers. That's down to 9.5, too, by the way. So you guys got the better of the number out there.
Saints and Lions is a very... Right now, Dave.
Ooh, yeah, 8.5 at Circa this morning.
It is cascaded. I'll tell you what, JBT, let me a quick follow up with you. You nailed kind of the points that I thought too. And I said this to Dave, week one, no one knows anything. Good luck to you if you think so. But I'm with you and I'm glad that you got the 10.5. You're right, Dave, it's down to 8.5 at Circa as of yesterday and this morning as well.
And still, you can still get those 9.5s at DraftKings, but boys, great point. This number is on the move, so shop around because you're seeing some full point differences in some spots. So very, very dramatic moves there that you can get depending on which side you like the better of the number there. Jonathan, I look at the Saints and the Lions. I think we're all expecting a lot of points there in Detroit, that's for sure. Kellen Moore, really good job, I thought, his year one as a head coach down there. In the Bayou. What do you make of them on the road in the Motor City against the Lions this weekend?
I think that, so again, to the point of survivor, I think this week is sneaky difficult because I like, obviously there's the Chargers, which is there that we just discussed is a very big favorite. We have Jacksonville, who has notoriously gotten off to some slow starts, and we'll see if they can pull that off against Cleveland. They're up 8.5. And then you get this instance against the Lions. I think they're somewhat of a flawed team, and I keep invoking this. You know, K-State in college football, they have a really easy schedule. And so a lot of people expect them to make to the Big 12 championship game. But I keep telling Stormy, I don't think we should conflate an easy schedule with a power rating. And so we don't want to rate them too high. And I think the same could be said for the Lions. I think the Lions are a little bit more flawed than we're giving them credit for. I just think we keep going big picture about this, hey, easy schedule. They should be able to roll through this thing. First off, defensively, I don't know where the pass rush outside of Hutchinson is going to come from. I don't think they're a great pass rushing group. I think that's going to be a really big problem for them. I think the back end of their defense is susceptible to giving up some really big plays. So if you can't rush the passer consistently and you have a leaky defense, all of a sudden your defense is really going to start to get shredded. On offense, guys, the offensive line, which they were hoping they could revamp with both free agent acquisitions and in the draft, you lose the center that you signed in the offseason to a wrist injury. You're starting a rookie right tackle. I do wonder if that offensive line is going to hold up as well. I just think they're a little bit more flawed. And so when I'm catching a full seven with a Saints team that I believe is good enough up front to take advantage of an offensive line that I think is going to have some issues again, and good enough offensively with Kellen Moore and Tyler Shuck that they're going to be able to take advantage of whatever things are going to be given by a bad defense, I see seven, and I think that that's worth playing here. And I think the Lions might find themselves in similar to what we talked about, the Chargers and the Cardinals, higher scoring, high variance type of game. And market seems to agree in the very least, because we're starting to come off those sevens, and the sevens that are there are juiced to the dog side. And those 49.5 are starting to turn into 50s at a couple of spots, including Circa. So give me New Orleans catching seven. I think they're going to be able to stay inside of that number.
I love it. Great minds think alike. I took the Saints on the money line plus 285. Again, the chaos theory of week one, what we don't know, we don't know. And JVT, I think great minds going to align again. And unfortunately, there are a few times in a Lewis Ross administration where the Prez and the VP go head to head. It's going to be the case in Nashville, Tennessee. JBT, you and I aligned on the Jets side. I do think the revenge angle is part of it here, and I understand why people would look that way. But I just think from a game that should be lower scoring, that's advantage. The underdog, hang around long enough, maybe they create a turnover at the end of that game and are able to get it across. Size it up in your eyes why you like the Jets on the money line.
Yeah, I mean, I think this Jets seems like pretty talented for what they're considered to be from a pricing standpoint in the betting market when it comes to like win totals and futures. And I know a lot of people, especially out here in Vegas, right, were freaking out about, hey, Geno Smith stinks and all this. If you look at Geno Smith's numbers as a quarterback, when he was kept clean, he actually performed very well. He was more like Seattle's the Seattle version of Geno Smith. The problem is just he was under pressure nearly 50% of his dropbacks. It was awful. I think his offensive line protection is going to be better. He's going to be able to run this offense a little bit better. You've got a little bit more of an adult in the room, an offensive coordinator in Frank Reich. I think this group's got some talent. And so when you look at Tennessee, who I'm generally high on, but I think that New York is a little bit better than we're giving them credit for here. And keep in mind, they have one of the best special teams units in the National Football League as well. I think they're going to be a pretty plucky team. I like them to win the game outright. I also think they're one of the really strong teaser legs that are available on the board for you too. The total's pretty low. I think, what are we talking about? 39.5. So getting them up to 7.5, you want to tease that up with any one of these sides that is teasable at this point right now. Jacksonville's still in play. Houston's a good play too. But I think they're going to be pretty strong, man. So instead of just taking 1.5, I'm going to go ahead and play them on the money line here to beat this team outright. Give me the Jets.
All right. In Ron Burgundy voice, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree. Jonathan, what about the Texans and the Bills? Some are thinking this might be the best game of the weekend that we're going to have in H-Town. And we know the Bills have struggled there historically with Josh Allen going there. Not a whole lot of success, if any, in recent years.
Yeah, so this is like, I guess this, I'm not going to call it a Babe Ruthian type call because it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. But like, I think the Texans are going to go off as the favorite by the time we get to Sunday. Circa had actually flipped to Houston -1 at one point in the last few days. Is that now back to Buffalo -1? Look, I don't think we need to explain the Texans defense, and matching up with Buffalo's offense is going to be a really interesting dynamic, because a lot of people seem to think and really believe in this Buffalo Bills change, I guess. I mean, the offensive coordinator that's been there over the last 3 years, and Bills fans will tell you that it was all McDermott's fault, but we'll see, because didn't really love the offensive production from him overall. And defensively, I think Jim Leonard could do a really good job. But guys, they lost 2,600 snaps from last year's defense, and they're going through a scheme change, which I think is going to be a little bit of a problem in the first few games. And I kind of buy into Houston changes on the offensive line. You know, if you look at C.J. Stroud last year, I know we all remember the playoff game, but he played somewhat well throughout the season. And a lot of it had to do with an offensive line that was absolutely killing him. If the changes are real and they're improved along that group, all of a sudden this offense can creep back toward average. And if you give this defense an average offense, that's going to be a really big deal. I just kind of think that this Texans team is good enough where they deserve the respect of being favored at home. And I think they eventually will be. So again, to pair that up, I teased down Jacksonville and added Houston. I think that's a pretty good teaser to get that down. I teased Jacksonville when they were 7.5, but obviously it's still 6.5. So that's still playable here to get that underneath 3. And I think Houston's definitely worth adding to a lot of teaser legs if you like them. Low total, you're getting it up to a couple of key numbers. Let's go Texans.
All right, very quickly, JVT, got to wrap it up here. But do you and Stormy have any show plays like that you're united in for money moves going forward here with the contest, et cetera?
We haven't decided, but we do have a Millions and a Survivor entry together, so we'll be tracking that throughout the season.
Oh, that's why. Just another reason you got to watch 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern right here in the network. Stormy, JVT, Jonathan, great stuff. As always, more on the NFL week number one, and Baker got a new deal. That's all next. Visa.
Tuned in.
in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
If you are serious about betting, you got to check out Edge Boost if you haven't done so already. It's the financial platform that's built specifically for players, a Visa debit card with no usage fee. So no more declining deposits, no more waiting on bank transfers. Edge Boost is going to give you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365 days a year, even on nights, weekends, holidays, doesn't matter. So you can use it across your favorite sportsbooks, prediction markets, DFS platforms, optimized for licensed U.S. gaming, land-based and online, earn up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits, and daily deposit limits up to $5 million per transaction. So new users, you can sign up with the promo code VSiN, make a minimum $100 deposit into your Edge Boost accounts, and Edge Boost will match your deposit up to $100. It's the smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. Head over to edgeboost.io, use the promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N, to get started today. Jensen, lots to talk about here as we get ready. We're going to debut a new segment later on in this program with a Moneyline Marathon that we'll get to here. But even doing that read for Edge Boost, when you hear managing your bankroll, I do think that's a big part of football betting, which is, let's be honest, right? It's the most popular time of the year for recreational bettors to start betting regularly, is the NFL, because it's the most popular product we have in sports betting. Would you tell people like how to manage their bankroll? Because everybody's bankroll is going to be different. And I do think that there is a key to that, to making sure early on in the year, sometimes write down your bets. That'd be my first advice to people. But two, you don't have to bet the board, as we always say here. And you can do those mental bets and see where your process is. How would you advise people to manage that bankroll early in an NFL season?
Well, I mean, first of all, in anything in life, and maybe we're dating ourselves here, but I know plenty of our older generation understands balancing a checkbook, being able to write everything down, account for every cent, knowing where every expenditure is going in and out. I take a lot of pride in being 100% transparent. My record, win, lose, draw, every morning on my social accounts, I will post my record. And the same holds true for football. And I think it's a great idea for you to bring up again, and we've talked about it before, the paper trading, okay? You'll hear stockbrokers talk about it, money managers, of before you make a trade or before you want to make a big investment, you know, kind of tracking, like, what would you have bought share-wise? What was the sale price? You know, what would your, what is the performance week over week, month over month? And be able to keep track, keep notes. We do this every week for Circa Millions, where we constantly audit, you know, where our entry is. What are we doing well? Where do we need to make adjustments? We're going to do the same thing tomorrow in our first iteration of our top 10s that we'll reveal in real time. But as far as bankroll goes, people need to remember that the NFL is the most scrutinized. It is the most highly invested handicapping sport in gambling. Okay. Like there are so many resources, different things that sportsbooks do. And now, you know, looking year over year of just how many states, Dave, have generated the amount of revenue from all these people wanting to jump in. Where is the big time of year? Well, it's football season, because that's when all the common and casual fans jump in along with all the sharps and so on and so forth. So roundaboutly, to answer your question, if you're new, make sure that you take a set amount of money and that's it for the year, and put it to the side. This is even good practice for people that are getting back into this year over year. Set it aside. Make sure that your unit is 3 to 5% of your total bankroll. Okay. And I can't stress that enough, because there's times, and I do this a lot, Dave, with you, and on VSiN.com for pro subscribers, I allocate the specific amount of units to each play. Yep. And that's indicative of the conviction of what I feel. You know, yesterday we had two unders that were 2.5 unit plays, felt very strongly about the Twins and Tigers going under, Diamondbacks, Royals going under. They both hit, but there were like 1 unit plays, 1.5 unit. But the Cubs screwed me yesterday with another 9th inning meltdown. Now, I wasn't like fully convicted, because it's Jacob Mizrowski on their side, but I did see a pathway for them to getting into a bullpen and being able to find a way through. And by rights, they should have won it. So again, To circle the wagons here, the bankroll idea is to each their own, and never a unit shame will happen on this show as long as you and I do it. Take what you're comfortable with. This is supposed to be fun. This is not going to, you know, pay the mortgage or anything like that. Make sure if you're a beginner, though, you set aside the total money you're willing to lose, all right? Because if it's all gone, it doesn't affect you. This was why you did what you did. And then a unit play should be 3 to 5% of your total bankroll. You do that, paper trade week one to feel like your reads are either good, bad, indifferent. Make your adjustments week over week, both college and NFL, and have an absolute blast. And the best part of all, if you need the cheat sheet, you tune into us 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern and across the network all day. So many great perspectives, so many great systems and intelligence and advice, but it's absolutely imperative that you start with a set bankroll. When it's done, and leave it at that.
Responsible Gaming put out there the yearly reminder that I like to put out there. You know, this is all you have to do is become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Tune into us each and every day. We're not charging for picks out here. We're going to have fun, and we're going to try to make you a profit in the process. But again, responsible gaming is a key for people getting new to this. Jensen, I think it's really smart and really well said to make sure you can manage that just like you would balancing a checkbook, as we did so many decades ago. Baker, the money is checking out pretty darn good these days. 3-year extension. They get this done here in Tampa Bay, $165 million. And remember, this was a big point of contention in this preseason. I got to be honest with you, I was a little bit down on the Buccaneers. I've mentioned it on this program before because of that. So the front office and the disconnect a little bit. Well, maybe that's been taken care of right now, because now Baker, and remember, they were coming down to, if we don't get this done before week one, we're not going to discuss this. That was per Baker, and the Buccaneers seemed okay with that. But clearly, they had some back channels going on. They get this deal done well ahead of Sunday here, Jensen. And it does feel like, to a degree, if you're married, happy wife, happy life. It feels like happy quarterback, at least in Tampa Bay right now, Jensen. And I'm sure that's going to help out the Buccaneers in their prognosis for the season going forward.
Yeah, very excited. And again, you know, this is a team that I'm high on to get back to the top of the NFC South. I think it is a unique situation where you have so much. I mean, it feels like the entirety of that locker room looks to him unquestionably as their leader. As goes Baker, so go the Buccaneers. And What a time for this to happen. You're going to get a bounce, Dave. I think you're going to get a little signing bounce, because this takes away a major distraction. All right. And it also allows guys to kind of take that deep breath and say, all right, let's go to work. We got our guy. We got our trigger man. Now, they are going to have to overcome some injuries in the wide receiver room early. Tough sledding out of the chute, because you're going to have to try and hang with who we think is going to be one of the best offenses in the National Football League and the Bengals. But I do feel that, you know, for Jason Light and this front office, this was the right move. They have a great dynamic and great relationship together. And Dave, how many competitive and winning franchises do you see have continuity? A, general manager to head coach to quarterback, and the triumvirate there ends up having that kind of synergy. All right. It feels like you at least still have that for another year or so, but I think you nailed where we might have a little bit extra now runway for Todd Bowles. If Baker's going to be around for the next 3 years, I think that tells you that, okay, we're going to keep Todd Bowles here as long as nothing catastrophic happens.
And since he's been the starting quarterback and brought in 2023, look at the games played. 17, 17, 17. That's pretty impressive in this day and age of NFL football, not to miss any time. To that point, Patrick Mahomes can't say that, because he did not finish out the season last year with the injury to the Chiefs. He will be the starting quarterback on Monday against the Broncos. We know he is back. Jensen, I think we're all expecting him to look like 15 again and just be Patrick Mahomes and comeback player of the year and all those things. Are you a little bit more concerned that maybe Mahomes, and I know we're going to talk about Bo Nix too on the other side here in this game, down to 2.5, rather significant that number has come off of 3?
I don't want to give away the store for free, because when we debut one of the must-see segments on this network moving forward, this game will be highlighted in earnest, and I do feel that this is an early litmus test of what people on this network think about the Kansas City Chiefs. It is going to be a team that will be highly scrutinized. Is this the end? Is this changing of the guard time? Is this a shifting of power in the AFC West? I'm loving it. And yet again, what a great way for this season to get going, man. You get this kind of AFC West clash to finish week one. Quarterbacks coming back from injuries, elite defenses, or will they be? A lot of fun, my friend. Can't wait to dive into that one further.
As we talked about, coming down from 3.5 to the Patriots down to 3 tonight. That's a significant half point that the books have adjusted on. To come off of 3 down to 2.5, really significant for the Monday nights out there in Kansas City. When we come back, what goes up must come down. Stock up, stock down next. VSiN by the books.